This is Just Talking It Up with Janet and Crash.
Welcome to Just Talking It Up. We're here again. We're here for the 100th time. Isn't that amazing? Crash, I'm 100 times. You have endured me 100 times.
I can't count to 100, but if you relate it to being with you 100 times, I think I understand what that's all about.
Some people wouldn't want to do that. I know lots of people that don't want to do that.
We've had a great time.
It's, you know, I think we've been on every topic that there is to be on. And some of them we probably shouldn't have been on. That's right. But listen, I want to introduce to our listeners a fellow who actually started this whole thing, and we've known each other for years, and he is an amazing. He's an intellect from way above my pay grade, and I want to thank him, James Spann.
I've never been called an intellect before. Wow. That, I have to look that up and see what that means. But I think it's a compliment, so thank you.
It is.
Now, I just came to thank both of you. I mean, doing 100 shows, doing 100 of anything, it's rare these days. And most people, they start something and they don't finish. So for you guys to crank out 100 episodes, and I'm looking for the next 100 because we know they're going to be better than the first 100.
I hope so.
But I'm a Just Talking It Up fan and just wanted to stop by and say congratulations. And
thank you.
You know, it's no secret that normally, you know, Just Talking It Up is done on Skype. And you two are, you know, not sitting this close together. And I find this very fascinating. I'm watching your body language.
We're planning on arm wrestling before the day's over.
You know, we ought to get a mud pit in here and see if you guys want to get down here and wrestle. But this, you know, we have developed a great interest in media produced on the internet. Some people listening to us might know that I do television for a living. That's my core job. And the television business model is dying. Not the television business, but the business model is dying. The media model is dying. And so many people are so upset and wringing their hands and they don't know what to do. But my position when something changes and everything, every business changes, is just to roll with the changes. And so when Just Talking It Up started, how many years ago?
Oh, gosh.
Four, probably.
Yeah, 4 years ago.
We did a lot of writing at that time.
Right. Yes. There was a lot of written material that goes with that, but to me, this is where it's all going. You don't have to have these big transmitters and these big towers and the expense of having, you know, 200 people in a building. And that's the problem newspapers have today. They don't know what to do. They can't afford all those people because the newspaper business is dead. The content business is fine. And that's where this is so exciting for me. It's having this fun content that you guys are doing every week. And interacting with listeners with social media, and I just think it's the future. And to me, the most exciting thing is that even now, in some cases, you can get into a new car, press a button on that little touch screen, and you're listening to this show. You don't have to plug in a wire. You don't have to have Bluetooth enabled and pair your phone and all these confusing things. You just press a button, and if you like it, you save it in a preset, and it says Just Talking It Up. You press the button, and every time there's a new episode, it lights up, and you can listen to it. And that's and most cars don't do that yet. Some of the new ones do. All the cars will have internet access. They'll have ease of use for these shows. And, you know, the legacy name for these shows, it's podcast, because in the old days, people just listened on an iPod. And the truth is now, probably very few listen on an iPod. They're listening on their Android phone, on their iPad, on their, you know, iPhone. They're listening in a car. There's so many different ways of hearing these shows now. And so I'm very excited about the future and just wanted to say congratulations on doing 100 shows. And I think the thing that's amazing to me and so refreshing is that you can tackle hard subjects without really demeaning people and screaming. And yet you guys watch cable TV at night. You know how out of hand it gets. And you guys handle hard subjects in a very proper way. You can disagree in a proper way, have fun in a proper way, without tearing people down and insulting people and using profanity and all this kind of stuff.
She insults me.
Well, that's what she does.
it's true. I ain't right. I ain't right.
But no, and to me, it's a very refreshing outlet where you guys can discuss current events and do it in a way that's proper. You know, the world talks about tolerance these days, and I think everybody's definition of and I've heard you talk about this, right, Ross. To me, my definition of tolerance is treating people that don't agree with you with propriety, decency, and respect. That doesn't mean you have to believe everything's true.
Doesn't mean believe what they say.
Yeah, please. That's That's nuts. I mean, it's crazy. So you do that in a fun way, and I think over the next 100 shows, what's going to happen, you've laid the groundwork now with this base of listeners and with this base of fan support, and now that everybody can press that little button in a car and hear this show just as easily as listening to, 106.9, then this is when it's going to get very exciting.
So, I don't know if I'm excited or terrified by that.
Well, that's true. I'm a little bit of both.
I'm excited, and people listening to the show now are doing. There's a good chance you heard me mention this in a Twitter feed or on my Facebook feed, and you're coming over to sample the show. For those that are just listening, maybe for the first time, let me encourage you to listen. If you're a liberal, if you're a conservative, if you're a Democrat, a Republican, if you like an iPhone, if you like an Android phone, this is a fun show. You guys really don't have an agenda to push anything. You're throwing some stuff out there. And both of you are very opinionated, which is fantastic. But I'm just telling you, this is refreshing is the word I like, because I don't feel threatened when I listen to this show. I don't feel this intense anger and hate and rage that you see. I mean, you're talking about hard things in a good way.
These are some great compliments.
Yeah, they are.
Can we write some of these down and have it signed?
One of the things is Janet and I like each other.
Right.
Truly. Yeah.
A lot.
Right. We have a good friendship.
Yeah, we do.
And there's chemistry on this show. Yeah. And that's something where, you just have a hard time finding that. And you guys are similar, and you have disagreements over some issues, but it's done in a very proper way, and it makes people think, and there's some really good information. You guys do some good research. You'll hear some facts and real information in here that's something I learned by listening to this show. So you have fun, you learn, you laugh. Sometimes you might cry. So I'm very excited about what's going to happen with the future. And again, I'll kind of promote, there are other shows that we do.
Absolutely. Good ones.
Oh, and they're great, too, yeah.
The two legacy shows on this network, and one is the show I do called Weather Brains, and we don't want the world to listen to that show, all right? This is for weather weenies. there are not a lot of weather weenies in the world. Weather weenie is somebody that gets up in the morning and looks at the GFS output from 12Z. They're a different breed. It's a niche program for people.
Hey, there are a bunch of weather weenies out there, because the listeners to
Weather
Brains is
huge. Is that a foreign language he just used?
Yeah. But what's happened, that show is, and we've been doing it longer than just talking. We've been doing that show for like 6 or 7 years now.
Yeah.
It's been out there a long time. That's our true legacy show. This is Just Talking It Up is the second show, the second longest running show. But we've introduced other shows involving sports. We've introduced shows for women. We think women's programming is very important. They're underserved on the internet. We've done some Christian worldview shows, and you're heavily involved in one of those. Can I say that?
Yes, absolutely.
If people can't figure out that's your voice, they got a problem. Some Christian worldview shows. I'm excited about Worldview Matters, because that's a very important program. This is Just Talking It Up, but I'm just saying Worldview Matters, I think, is very important in terms of who everybody is defined by their worldview and their view of the world. And what you guys share on that show, it is very intense. So many times I listen to media and I just feel like I'm stupid after I listen to it. I've wasted 30 minutes of my life. I ain't got time to hear this. And I feel like I'm more ignorant now than I was 30 minutes ago.
Yeah.
But that show gives you some very good information to make decisions in how you live your life and how you think and feel about current events, which is a great
very
show.
Poignant relative to what we're seeing in the world today.
Right. Yeah. You take what's out there now and relate that back. And so that's Worldview Matters. We're doing a show called Undone Redone with Trailer and Melody Lovern. And this is a fascinating show involving some very real world issues that couples deal with. And their story, they divorced, they have remarried, there was some addiction issues within that family, and they're very open and transparent, and the problems that they talk about are the problems that most folks don't have the guts to talk about.
Exactly,
Some of the new episodes are just fantastic, and again, that's not for kids. This is all adult stuff that we're doing here, but we're kind of dipping our toes into a lot of different waters, and we're also going to do a series of health shows. We're going to expand. We've been holding back as we kind of catch our breath and see where this is going. But we're going to do some health shows beginning in the summer and fall. I'm very excited about that. But this is where it's all going. And the truth is, one of these days, they're going to come into my office and say, I'm sorry, we can't afford to pay you anymore. The old business of television is dead. thanks. It's been a great ride, but I know when that day comes, this will be available for me to carry on with no interruption of service to the people I've been serving all these years.
Right.
And we've obviously experimented in video. WeatherBrains is a video show. And I'd love to make this a video show one day because your facial expressions are the best, all right?
Well, we do have a face for radio. Yeah, I'm not
absolutely.
Sure.
Oh goodness! At least y'all have some nice. Y'all have the look. I mean, see, you
what
know,
look?
Crash has the TV anchor hair. He looks like the Walter Cronkite with the well coiffed hair up there.
He does. That's why he's so believable.
Janet is the actress from Hollywood, and see, you guys have the TV. I got nothing. I mean, the wheels are coming off. I got no hair. I mean, it's just bad. So I slap on Max Factor Pancake Tan number 2 and some powder, and I'm ready.
Wow.
You know, as he's talking, it reminds me of something. Here, I'm sitting here. As a child, I had a party line telephone. And here we're sitting doing this kind of media and talking about what's coming. I think, wow, where have all these years gone? It's unbelievable. And let me tell you one more James Spann story. I'm at a bomb group reunions. Matter of fact, I was at the Doolittle Raiders reunion a year ago, talking to a guy from Alabama. We're in line going to lunch. So he said something about being from Birmingham. And I said, have you ever heard of James Spann? He said, James Spann?
Uh-oh.
he's
king.
Next to, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, next to whoever's the coach at Alabama at the time, it's James Spann.
I said, right.
Well, James is a friend of mine. He wanted my autograph.
Oh, brother. All right. Now, I was talking about the credibility. It just went right down the tubes.
Hey, listen, yeah.
I will say this. So Saban and I got over 8,000 write-in votes for president in our state.
Did you?
Oh, no.
Who got the most? You or Saban?
Well, no, we were the ticket. He was the president. I was the vice president. They wrote us in as a. There was this Twitter campaign.
No kidding.
Saban Spann. And so we had like over 8,000 votes. I was honored.
I love it.
And I'm from Alabama.
Yeah, that's downright creepy, isn't it? But anyway, I'm going to let you guys get back to it. I like listening to the show driving down the road.
Thanks for giving us this chance. Yes. We've had a wonderful time these years and look forward to more. And if it weren't for you, we wouldn't have it.
Well,
that's the truth.
But let me encourage you, if you're listening, to get this locked into your. And a lot of people are still listening, of course, by the traditional iPod, you know, the iPhone, the clients like Stitcher. And I use a program called Downcast. But, you know, be sure and subscribe to this show. A lot of people hit it one time. Mm-hmm. Subscribe. And there are certain shows you might need to listen to for a few times before you get it, you know, if that makes any sense. And this is the kind of show where if you listen 2 or 3 times, you start to really get it. And it's fun and it's refreshing and you learn something. And to me, I would so much rather listen to this show than anything on commercial radio driving down the road.
Wow.
Tomorrow,
wow.
I'm going to be speaking in about 2 hours away. On those two-hour trips, I listen to shows like this.
It means we must start speaking more properly.
Ooh, I don't think that's in me to speak properly.
But I'm going to beam up, and I don't want to hear the rest of this because I'm going to listen driving down the road like always.
Hey, James, thank you so much.
Congratulations on the big number. That's a fantastic number. 100 of anything is great these days. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
You know, I forgot to say while James was here, if it weren't for my sister, you and I wouldn't know each other. I would have never met James either.
That's right. So, and if I hadn't have made a joke the first time we met, you wouldn't have known. You wouldn't have wanted to talk to me again. Do you remember where we were?
I can't remember. Help me.
It was on Father's Day, and there was an outdoor concert. Ryan Kender was doing an outdoor. It was a big thing here in Birmingham.
Yeah.
I've forgotten what it's called.
It was City Stages.
City Stages. That's
yeah.
it. And he was on a stage, and we were riding in the same car together.
Yeah.
And you were in the back seat, and you had a piece of trash or something, and your sister was
driving.
Did
you say I was a piece of trash?
Yes, but you were in the back seat.
Okay.
And Sally was driving the car, and I was in the front seat.
Yeah.
And you had a hamburger wrapper or something. You said, I've got this. What do I do with this trash? And then I said, whose car is this? And Sally said, it's my husband's. And I said, just throw it down. Because you were so worried about where to throw the trash.
Yeah.
You laughed at that. You thought it was funny.
That was. And you've said many things over the years that I thought.
Lots of things we couldn't say here.
That's very true. Well, that was great to have James.
What a
wonderful guy.
He says he's not an intellect, but he actually is. People know him at first for weather. But he is a personality that has so many different facets. He deals with children in the church. He is a marvelous minister. He's a terrific example for a Christ-like behavior in It's just, he's just wonderful.
If ever the phrase, he's the real deal, fits.
Absolutely.
It's James Spann.
James Spann is the real deal. And he's even better than people think he is. He's just a great guy. He never stops going. And everything that he does, everything that he touches is all about being good and something that's helpful. So, and he's a good guy. For us, for him to believe in us, is that's a big deal.
That's a heck of a big deal.
Yeah.
100 shows. Which one did you have the most fun doing?
Oh, my gosh. That's like asking me which one of my children is my favorite.
That was my next question.
I've got five kids. Well, the problem is you ask me that, I'm going to say my favorite child is the one that's sick or that's away that needs me.
The one that's in front of you.
So that would mean I would have to say the worst show we ever did would be my favorite. No, there have been so many. It's hard to even imagine. We had a couple where I knew everything. I was the person in the know, and I was educating you about horses or about
Kentucky Derby, Big Brown, right. Which was 2011 Derby, right? Or 2010 Derby?
I don't even know. It kind of all blends together for me.
Yeah, well, if the listeners don't remember, he had won. Kentucky Derby was the first one.
That's the first race.
Yeah, and he won that one, correct?
Yes, and
he won the Preakness, and then he lost the Belmont, which is the longest of the three, right?
Yeah, and they pulled him off of that.
Well,
the jockey held him back.
Okay, all right. I didn't remember what that was, but you have a lot of different capabilities, and that's one that I had no idea. I know the horse had four legs. Other than that, I knew very little more.
And a horse face.
I was well educated. A horse face, yes, exactly. I was well educated that day.
Well, but if we ever talk about baseball, heavens, all I have to do is say the word baseball. And you can weave this beautiful tapestry of information about baseball that starts in the 1920s and carries on.
Baseball it was such a unifying thing in my family. It gives me warm feelings. Oh, yeah. About my father, my mother, my brother, my sister, all of us, we were involved in baseball and still have been. My children and grandchildren, same way. So,
is that right?
Yeah. It just gives me a very, very warm feeling. I have a lot of great memories.
That's tradition. Well, now the reason you know so much about baseball, it actually is tied in your family.
Absolutely.
Horses are the same thing for me. So
right.
I got my love for horses and animals from my dad. And he knew an awful lot about him, and that was where I kind of made a connection with him. And so that's a warm feeling that makes me feel close to my dad. So.
I will tell the listeners that you came from the feed store to do this show today.
I did, and I didn't. I hope we don't go to video soon, because there are lots of days when I look like I've been to the feed store and maybe in the back lot a little bit and rolling around.
Since we do this so early in the morning, usually, I don't want to tell you how I'm normally dressed when we do it. So,
but you do it from all over the country.
I do.
You're not ever in the same place twice that I can remember.
Well, I've done it from many places. I don't travel quite as much as I used to, but over the years I've traveled quite a lot.
Well, I travel from the den to the living room to the farm to the driveway to the grocery store. That's about my limit.
Well, you know, in the early shows, we did a lot of politics. As a matter of fact, going back to just talking it up as it started when we were writing, we wrote a lot of things about that. And I would have to say that was such a tremendous opportunity and outlet for me, having been educated totally differently from a right brain, left brain situation. I graduated in engineering and I'm in the investment business, but writing had not up to that point been something I was strong at, and it gave me an opportunity to do that.
Is that where you picked up because you started out as a brilliant writer. You started out very articulate. It was easy to understand. And
I tell you what happened.
You didn't use any big words.
I didn't know any big words. It gave me an opportunity to say what I wanted to say to satisfy myself, not to satisfy somebody else.
Yeah.
When you write, sometimes you feel like you need to satisfy the reader. I was saying what I felt. If they didn't like what I was saying, so be it. I didn't really care.
It is freeing, isn't it?
Absolutely freeing.
Yeah.
I found it to be tremendous.
I kind of miss that a little bit, but I've never been a journaler. I never have been I've got friends who write in journals every single day, and I don't know how they have the time or the energy to sit down and think out enough to write it.
Yeah.
But it is almost like an emotional journal. I miss those days. I wish we had enough time to write on it a lot.
As a matter of fact, that prompted me to start two websites on which I write almost weekly, one about World War II one about my city, which was Knoxville Heritage. And then I do have, as you well know, I've got a book that I'm hopeful of having published within the next 3 or 4 months on World War II. So.
Yeah. And you know so much about everything. You know, when I first was, when James was first, we were first talking about the idea for the show, we tossed around a couple of different ideas and a couple of different names. And I was probably 2 weeks off of having met you. And I remember thinking after spending the time that we had, it was not very long, it was probably 45 minutes or so, but the little time that we had, we talked about the emergent church, we talked about Christianity and how people are watering it down and how people modify, they try to change the truth to make it fit what their wants and their needs are and things like that. We had some very intense conversations in a short period of time. And I remember calling Sally and saying, Sally, do you think that he would be at all interested? I know he's real busy. And she just laughed and said, you give my brother a microphone or a pen? Are you kidding?
Give him a platform.
It may be weeks before you can get him to stop talking.
Often wrong, but never in doubt. That's what she said. Well, you know, I remember you called me that day. My wife, it was a Saturday morning. My wife and I were out. We'd been shopping, and I'd pulled up in front of a sporting goods store, and you called. And I talked, and she said, what was that all about? And I told her what you were asking me to do. She says, does she know you? Which meant, what in the world are you thinking?
I was scared to death to call you, but I figured, I just thought, I got nothing to lose. All he can do is say no. So it was a chance, and I was so glad that you were willing to do it, and I appreciate it. It's 100 episodes. That's just scary.
I just hate to keep saying it, but it's been just an absolute godsend. It's been a wonderful time for me personally,
and I really
look forward to it. But, some of these shows, I think the one that I enjoyed the most was Beer with Jesus. We did two shows on If I Could Have a Beer with Jesus.
Wow.
And
remember whose idea that was?
Yes, I do. It was your husband's.
Yeah.
It was your husband's
That's
idea.
Right.
And we were at a concert, I guess at Ryan Kinder.
That's right.
Yeah, at a local
bistro. We just keep meeting at these Ryan Kinder concerts.
Yeah, exactly right.
He's pretty amazing, too.
Yes, he is. And we were talking about that, and I listened to the song, and I was taken by it. And I know that it polarized the conversation about that. You and I, went back and forth, and then out in the world, there was a tremendous polarization.
Well, you know how it even springboarded as an idea from Bill? He had the program director of a local radio station called him and just said, I need to speak with somebody. My husband's on staff at a large church, Southern Baptist Church, and he called him and he just said, I need to ask somebody a question. I'm not real sure theologically what we should do here. And he said, we're getting so many calls and people are on fire about this song. They either love it or they hate it, but there doesn't seem to be anybody just being quiet about it. And he actually came by the office and talked with Bill about it and asked his opinion, just said, what do you think about this song? Should we kind of put this on the QT, or what do we need to do with this song? And it was a controversy for them that they, I don't know, I don't think it got out of hand or anything, but they had a lot of angry callers, a lot of bad comments, a lot of good comments. But even on the Facebook page with James had started on his Facebook a discussion that was, you had everybody under the sun making a comment about that. That was a fun show.
Well, it's one of those polarizing things. And the interesting thing that I was so taken by it and felt so strongly for it is that I don't personally drink. And so
Have you ever been a drinker?
No. My father, when I was 10 years old, said, son, if you will wait until you are 21 to smoke and drink, I will buy you every cigarette and every drop of alcohol you can use the rest of your life. I said, that's a heck of a deal. And one of the last things I told him is he died at 84, and I was, you know, I guess, what, 60 or something like that, was thanks, Dad, for doing that. And I just never have.
Wow. So for you, it could be have a smoke with Jesus, have a smoke with Jesus. Just something to go and relax and do that's...
You see, I thought that the beer was incidental, peripheral. What it did was, he said, this is the way that I live. I would love for Jesus to come into my world. If you remember the song, he said, I want to go back in the back. I don't want anybody necessarily to see me with Jesus. We'll turn our back to where nobody will know who it is. I just want to ask him some things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how do you turn the other cheek? Tell me about dying. What did that feel like? Why did you do that? Why did you love me so much? That was the issue.
Right.
And I felt like that the beer just, it could have been Pepsi Cola, you know, whatever. It didn't really make any difference. That was the issue.
Yeah. I thought it was, I think it's a wonderful song.
Yeah.
I think that it asks every question that's a normal question for someone who has a question. I don't care whether it's beer or not. I would love to sit down at a table and ask him all kinds of the same questions that the writer did on this song.
Yeah, he said, "Have you been there from the start?"
Yeah.
Hey, that's that.
These are questions that we really want answers to. But
what's
everybody
the
does.
Sure, absolutely. And so I thought, what a fantastic way that the guy put it out there. I would encourage anyone to go back and listen to the song. And then our two shows on that were November the 10th and November the 15th. If anyone wants to go back and listen to those.
How do you just must have looked back on all this stuff.
They
are good, yeah, they are good shows. Listen, all of our shows are on iTunes, and it's interesting to go back and look and listen where we've come from. We've come, I mean, it used to be a little bit, I guess, stilted or uncomfortable. Or I still like doing this face-to-face thing better because I can tell when one eyebrow goes up, I can tell. If you could only see his face, ladies and gentlemen, he looks like he's trying to catch flies.
This is different because we usually do it by Skype. And so I think sometimes we walk over each other. I walk over you. And
we do the same.
Yeah, because there's probably just a little bit of a gap there or the delay or something.
Yeah.
And here you can tell when I'm talking, which is normally all the time.
Well, but I can tell when I pushed your buttons.
Yeah, which is all the time, too.
That's right. And I try. Sometimes I will try to say something just to see how you're going to react on it.
Sometimes.
Yeah. I don't do that all the time.
Okay, say something. Let's see. Let's get it going.
Are you always going to wear your hair like that?
Well, it's not sprayed, if that's what you mean. And I dye it this color.
It does look nice. It looks nice.
You love the little Kim.
Oh, I
Kim
did.
Jung, whatever his name is.
The dictator.
You call him Little Kim.
Little Kim. But now I got Little Kim from your sister, as a matter of fact. Yes, that came from her. That really wasn't me, and I thought it was the funniest thing. She just thought, because Dennis Rodman had been over there visiting, and that blows my mind. Why do we even let him back in the country? But here he is. And so he goes and he makes friends with this little short fellow who wants to start World War III.
Yeah, he was interviewed yesterday, and he said something about he wanted to be on he's on a first-name basis with Kim, and so...
Wow. I don't know why that would be something I would tell anybody. I think I'd keep that to myself.
Well, Dennis Rodman is a room-temperature IQ guy at best,
I don't know. He knows how to choose eyeshadow. He does pretty well in choosing eyeshadow and jewelry.
How does he get the eyeshadow on with those things in his pierced ears? I don't know.
When I see someone like that, now I'm not saying that this is true of Dennis Rodman. He may be just a wonderful individual, but when I see someone who does something so controversial just to bring attention to themselves, he does everything he can to get a rise out of people. He dresses strange and he says bizarre things and he marries bizarre people and he does anything that he can and I guess he feels like he must be heard. And if he's going to be heard, he has to do something outrageous. And that's a little bit sad.
And you do recognize that we're sitting here talking about him.
Well, it worked.
Yeah.
That's right. He was very successful in being talked about.
I want to tell Kim Kardashian, hang on, Kim. I mean, Dennis Rodman is on his way.
Wow. I don't even know how the Kardashians got. How did they even get famous?
Who knows?
I remember one of them, the father, the one that passed away from cancer, was one of O.J. Simpson's attorneys, but that's all I know.
He was the first attorney, and he's the one who read the letter that O.J. Simpson had written saying basically he's going to take his life when they were...
That's right.
You remember when they were going down the I think it was the 101 freeway in California, in L.A., and they were showing it on TV.
Right. And I remember he was hired because he was hired quickly, I think, because of attorney-client privilege, because he knew some things that he had to keep to himself. Do you remember the look on his face when O.J. was acquitted?
Oh, yeah. He was as shocked as I was.
Yeah, I think he could have been throwing chairs and being in shock just like the rest of the world. Yeah. But
O.J.'s going back to court this week.
Why?
Well, he thinks
Did he steal something in prison?
Well, no, he's trying to get a new trial.
He's stealing trays from the other inmates.
Yeah, he probably is. Reality TV. Now, we got into it over Duck Dynasty, too.
Oh, I love Duck Dynasty.
I know.
And
that's why we got into it.
You haven't given it a chance, I can tell.
I watched it for 5 minutes. Is that not a chance?
No, that's not a chance. It's just like James said when he's talking about our show. You have to listen to it several times until you get to know the characters, and then you understand when they say something how bizarre it is, then it becomes funny. It's you have to get used to it, and you have to know the characters. So
you have to make a conscious effort to get used to it, which I'm not sure is in me.
Oh, come on. The Robertsons, they're good folks.
Oh, no doubt about it. We agreed on that. They are good folks. And I think that they are significantly ahead of Honey Boo Boo.
Well, the
Kardashians. Okay, yeah. Yes, I'll put them ahead of that.
But do you find no value in mindless entertainment that's wholesome?
Very little.
Really?
Well, you know, Three Stooges being kind of thing, or what? Pinky Lee?
Three Stooges was mindless entertainment, but that was a little more engaging. That was with so many pratfalls, and that was a very physical kind of comedy. But the comedy that they do on Duck Dynasty is all, it's just like your neighbor. I mean, you live in the South. It's your back door neighbor.
Now, someone told me that I was like Psy, and I'm not sure whether that's a compliment or not. That's not good. That's not good.
No, that's okay. Really good.
That is good or it's not good? Tell me.
I'm about to cry. I'll tell you. No, Psy kind of makes up his own words.
Yep,
kids,
that's me.
Yeah, the kids in the car were talking the other day, and one of my sons said, we stopped and got a frozen drink, like a little icy thing. And he said, oh, Mama, I just had a brain sneeze. And I started laughing.
He cleaned that up, didn't he?
And Sykes says, you have a brain sneeze. And the way he explains it on the television, he says, you know, it's when you get too much, your brain, you drink too much cold too fast, and your brain hurts, and it needs to sneeze. But it can't because it's a brain. So it just hurts. That's how he explains that it's really a brain sneeze, not a brain freeze.
Hey, that's pretty insightful.
It just is. He makes up his own words, and he's just a down-home, country fella. He's a good
guy. Well, I don't know if you've seen, but they now are demanding more money.
They're demanding some money. They're demanding $200,000 apiece an episode. Now, when you look at how much their viewership is, mm-hmm. and the commercial benefits of having a television that is watched that widely, do you really think when you compare it to, say, a football player who's getting a couple of million dollars a year, you really think $200,000 an episode apiece is
so
outrageous?
They don't get anything now? Is that the deal?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know what
they get. So $200,000 more.
That's what they're asking. I think they're asking for $200,000
each.
I don't know. I think it's $200,000 each.
That'd be million and a half an episode more than they now get.
But I think it because it's A&E. That's like a shoestring. They weren't accustomed to having all these viewers. And the articles that I read, the things that I've read, it has said $200,000 a piece. So I don't think that it's in addition to what they're already getting. I don't know what they're getting. But they have an empire anyway. But still, if a television channel is making money off of you, why can't you?
Oh, hey, listen, I say go get it.
It's a free country.
No doubt about it. I'm all for the free enterprise system.
If
no doubt about it.
If they'll pay it, I'd sell it.
So my comment really was just, hey, do you realize that's what's happening? Not that I'm against that. I'm all for that.
Well, they'll probably, my assumption is they'll get it. I can't imagine.
I would think so. They're not going to take that show off.
I just don't see how they would.
I think I saw where it was a number one show. I don't know if it's in a specific genre or if it's a number one show. I know it's a number one show in A&E.
Yeah. I love doing that show. We used to be on politics a good bit, and I think it's a good thing that we're kind of off this. Non-politics is kinder and gentler.
It is kinder and gentler. It's
easier.
It's easy to bring politics into virtually anything.
Because it always creeps in, doesn't it?
Yeah. I mean, now we're going through the Benghazi thing and that atrocious situation in Cleveland. Mm.
The wheels have come off the world. Yeah, but you know what? We are the light of the world, and we know him, and he's in us, and there you go.
Amen.
So
we do know the end of the story.
Yeah, we've already read the end of the book.
We have read the end of the book. It's just those chapters in the middle. You know, the first is the introduction, and the last is the climax. And in the middle is that tough time. And I think that's the worst
part of the book. Yeah. That's just the boring part. I'd rather go to the end. Let's go to the end chapter.
Well, you know, Peter thought he was in the end times. And then we've thought many times that we're in the end times. Yeah. You hear that now. I remember back in the 70s, the mid-70s, there was a book that came out called The Late Great Planet Earth by Hal Lindsey.
Yeah, oh, I remember that. And it scared a lot of people.
Oh, it did. And there was a hue and cry over it, and people were talking about it, and all of a sudden it passed away. So that was almost 40-something years ago.
Well, then you have, remember the book series that came out, the Left Behind series?
Left Behind,
that was another one that got a lot of people's attention. It's... we are free in Christ, and if we're, you know, there's a whole lot in the world to look at to be sad over or to be upset over. And
sure.
I think it does our blood pressure better service if we stay on the godly things and off of politics.
It also does our producer. That is
true. He likes us better when we stay off politics.
But, you know, I think that both you and I are Christians, but I think to stay out of the political realm and not engage in it in some way is not the right thing to do, because we have a lot of things to say. Going back to what James said earlier, that had to do with tolerance. I mean, the world is trying to get us to believe that tolerance means that you should believe what everybody else believes. And that's just the antithesis of what that means, I believe. Tolerance is the willingness to listen in a gentlemanly or ladylike way to viewpoints that other people have. But then we must be fruit pickers and fruit inspectors and determine what we believe truth is. And we should, I'll get off on my diatribe, but truth is to be discovered or discerned, not to be determined. Mm. We can't decide what truth is because truth is what it is. Ours is a discovery process of what's true.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're to live our lives that way and just to kind of relax a little bit and just let the truth be the truth. Truth doesn't ever change. And so it's good that we stay off of politics.
James talked about social media. And you and I had a spirited debate some few shows ago about social media. And I know that it is the way of communication today, whether it's Facebook, Twitter, Google, you know,
Instagram,
name them.
Instagram,
yeah,
all those things.
I'm not
Google Plus.
Google Plus. I'm not as up on all those things as you are, and as our producer JP Spann and Mark Phillips.
I don't know as much as you think, but I know enough for it to confuse me. I know just enough to be a little bit dangerous and to mess things up. But it started with cell phone technology, I think. And that's where it got kicked off. When you start seeing teenagers have conversations and never even meet anybody, never see them face to face, can you imagine being friends with someone and never having seen their face in like months? But that's the way a lot of our teenagers they talk about stuff. And we have even teenagers that will ask a girl out by text message, which is beyond me. I don't think if anybody asked my daughter out by text message, I don't think they'd get a response. But our world and the way we connect with each other has changed drastically. And it's if it's 140 characters, that's all that people want to hear.
Yeah, we are in a soundbite world, an MTV world kind of. This is peripheral to what we're talking about here. We'll get back to this, but I remember a friend of mine saying one time that he heard a horn beep outside, and his daughter ran to the door. He said, "Where are you going?" She said, "That's my date." He said, "Don't think so." He went outside and said, "Let me tell you something, young man." Said, "You beep your horn, you get me. You come to the door, you may get a chance to go out with my daughter." I thought, I like that guy.
That's right. They have to talk to us first. My daughter's 18. They have to talk to me and my husband first before.
Until my daughter went to college, she never had a date, but what I interviewed the young man, and it couldn't be right
before. Oh, my gosh. How did she ever go out with anybody?
It couldn't be right before the date. It had to be a day before.
You're so intimidating, though.
I fully intended to be intimidating. But, you know.
Did she hate that?
No, she didn't. As a matter of fact, she will do the same thing with her own daughter.
Even at the time, she didn't hate it even
at the
time?
She did not, because here was the deal we had with her. Even from a very young age, we had a deal where we said, we'd like to make a deal where you would never marry anyone that we did not give our undivided agreement to. And I said, and then what we will do for you is to say that we will never capriciously withhold our blessing on a young man that you bring to us. So now there was a trust level that we built up during that period of time.
That's nice.
And she was a very mature looking girl when she was young. So when she was a freshman in high school, she looked like a senior. And so there were seniors that wanted to date her. And I said, this is a protection, because if you have somebody that it's harder for you to say, no, I don't want to go out with you, send them to me. I can say no early on, and you'll learn how to say it, you know, later on. And so, well, she's a wonderful mother, and those things, they never got in the way of our relationship. As a matter of fact, it augmented the relationship between her and her mother and I.
Wow, that's wonderful. We started out talking with James Spann, and now we're talking about teenagers and their dating life. How to raise a daughter, how to let your daughter go out on a date.
And on the way, we talked about beer with Jesus and Little Kim and reality TV and who knows what else.
What's your number one favorite show? Is there one that you really, really liked the most? Is it Beer with Jesus?
Yes, that would be the one that I would say that I like the best.
Yeah, I think we both liked that one.
Yeah. It dealt with something that I think was close to our heart, and it did so in a tangential way.
Mm-hmm.
It was not straightforward what you would say. It was doctrinally sound, but it was not like that someone read from the third chapter of John.
Yeah.
It took issues of doctrinal soundness, and it dealt with them in a maybe a little obtuse way. Don't know. But it brought reality to the idea or the issue of living in the world, engaging the world that I'm in. So that's what I liked. Okay, I tell you what, let's do. Let's listen to a couple of clips from the shows that we liked.
Okay.
So well, good. You loved Little Kim,
do.
And I loved the show. We had a great time talking about that.
Yeah.
Let's go back. There's a couple of things that we said there that I think the listeners might like to hear.
I think so, too.
Hey, you're listening to Just Talking It Up. I'm Janet. I'm here with my buddy Crash, and we are actually talking about Little Kim, not the rap artist.
There are a lot of Little Kims in the news today. First, you have, I guess, the Little Kim, the singer. Then you're talking about the one in North Korea.
Right. But the reason he has this name is because of your sister, who happens to be my friend. And I would give a shout out to Sally, that she thinks that must be his new nickname, Little Kim, because Dennis Rodman's been hanging with him. And, you know, when you're hanging with the bros, you give him a title. So he's now Little Kim.
That's probably true. But, you know, when you first said Little Kim, I thought you might have been doing a tongue-in-cheek comment about Kim Kardashian, who now looks like Kansas.
Well, that's a different Kim altogether. I think he's going to be given a little bit of leeway to have some target practice, and we're going to tell him over and over again to not do that anymore, and he's still going to do it. And by the time he finishes his target practice, he may actually be a real threat.
You know, so, he supposedly has the largest collection of porn movies of anybody in existence.
Now, there's a heck of a place to end that, right?
Well, leave it to a man. A man knows that. Well, a woman didn't know that. A man knows where the largest porn collection is.
You just haven't been reading the newspaper. That's what it was. I went on to say, I think that his father, he inherited this from his father. So he's going to have to get married and pass that down to some even littler Kim, I guess.
But the problem is it's probably on VHS tapes.
He will be called Gnome Clem, Gnome Kim at that point in time.
Oh, me.
Okay. Well, now, there are a couple of others that we could listen to.
Yeah. You know what? Here I sit on my bionic hip.
Oh, I love that.
I like the bionic woman. You know, that was like a life changer for me, that surgery. I've become the poster child for total hip replacement.
That was a great show, and it was very informative. As we were doing that, I was Googling to try to find exactly what you were talking about, because my wife had a hip replacement too, and I wanted to see if it was exactly the same. And there was a difference, but you went on to tell a great story about that, which I thought was very informative, and it fits in with what James said some of these new shows are going to be on, which is medical issues.
That's right. Well, let's
listen to that.
Let's listen to a clip from The Bionic Woman.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to teach you something today, because I don't think you have any bionic parts like I do.
I'm confident that you will. Bionic parts? Okay.
Did you have a lobotomy? Edge.
Did you have a lobotomy? Is that what you're telling me?
Are you being unkind? That's not your style. Don't be unkind to me.
Sorry.
When they come up with a prosthetic brain, I probably will be the first candidate in line.
First in line. Well, I think Apple has probably got one in the works.
I am now sporting a brand new titanium, government improved hip replacement.
Now, was this a refurbished one, or was this a brand new one straight out of the
box?
Yeah,
I got it off of eBay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it came with a warranty and everything.
I'm telling you, I was so giddy that day. It was like I'd had 5 Loratabs or something, and I was so excited about my new hip.
Well, as I watched you walk today, I can see why you were so excited. I mean, you were pain free. My wife from her hip replacement, she doesn't have pain in that hip, and she has it other places in the back. But that was a godsend.
I'm telling you, if I could have the, you know, they asked me when they were evaluating me for this thing, they kept saying, but what about your other hip? Do you have pain in the other hip? And it was so insignificant compared to what my left hip was.
Right.
And I really don't experience any pain at all. I'm still real weak because I hadn't done anything for so long because it was just painful. But getting over the rehab part of the muscle part, this new, it's not even a new procedure. It's just now catching on. It's called anterior approach. And go back and listen to the show, because I'm sure that I talked all about my surgeon and also this anterior approach. It's not new, but it is catching on. And they don't cut muscle. They don't cut tendons. The blood loss is different. The recovery time is way different. Pain level is extremely different. It's just everything is amazing, and it's definitely the way to go. But we that almost in itself was like a medical show.
Exactly. I was thinking maybe that you were going to go into some sort of medicine or be a nurse, I didn't know.
I felt like it.
Yeah.
You
were evangelical about the thing,
true,
I can tell you
true.
That.
But I was like a bird out of a cage. I was free. It was.
Are you working for that company now? Is it Zimmer?
No, I do have to. I'm a card-carrying member, though. You know, they give you this laminated card so that in case you're having an accident or something,
it doesn't help you
bells and whistles at the airport.
It doesn't help you through the airport, I can tell you that.
No. I know it slows you down a good bit. But anyway, we've got a couple other clips to go.
I tell you what, as the last one, let's listen to a little bit of Have a Beer with Jesus. And maybe that'd be one of the, it is my favorite.
It's my favorite too, I have to say.
And
we
did have
favorite.
A lot of listeners on that one that commented about that.
Yeah.
So let's listen to a little bit. Yeah.
We were listening to country music, and this song comes on, and I'm telling you, I had to double check on what station we were on, but there's this song, I don't know if you know anything about it, it's called If I Could Have a Beer with Jesus.
interesting that you mentioned that. You know, I do listen to country music.
I knew you would know something about it. I knew it.
I have heard the song. And as a matter of fact, when I first heard it, I was just a tad shocked at the title, you know, coming from a fairly traditional background. But then I listened to the song a couple of times, and I was absolutely blown away. It's not only a nice song, but I personally like the attitude of the guy that's, I don't even know who's saying it. What's the guy's name? I've never heard of him.
Thomas, you know? Rhett. There is a part of the Bible Belt. Of course, Bible Belt, they're going to be offended at everything. It's just, in my mind, some of these people are just a bunch of rednecks. But some of these people have such strong opinions about using the name Jesus in anything. And, of course, they may use the name Jesus in a terrible way when they hit their thumb with a, you know, with a hammer by accident on Saturday afternoon when they're working on their car. But don't bring Jesus into a song and give him a beer. That ain't right.
Yeah, I know a few of those folks myself.
That was good. I really did love that one. I've had great time talking about that particular show with a number of people, as well as listening to the song. As a matter of fact, I would suggest that the listeners who have not heard that song go to YouTube.
Yeah, I agree.
And there are a number of them, clips there that play that song. The other thing I would say, on the operation that you mentioned about your hip, you can go to YouTube and you can see that operation done.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's so, everywhere.
Yeah, there are a lot of things. You know, it's interesting, as we look back, we haven't had a chance to talk about a number of things. We talked about fiscal cliff. We've talked about a number of financial issues with
paying
our country.
Paying for your kids' college.
Paying, what's college worth?
Right.
I remember we had a great conversation about that, and it's timely for you because you've got...
I got one leaving for college.
Got one leaving for college pretty soon.
Fortunately, we took advantage of the scholarship availability out there. So,
well, that's smart, and that's one of the things that we talked about, was to get to investigate as many scholarships as possible.
Sure.
And then I remember us talking about the fact that the more expensive colleges are not necessarily worth that.
Exactly. That's true.
Yeah.
And when you start looking at statistics, it'll make you sad.
Absolutely. I think a college degree is kind of a ticket to tell an employer, okay, they went through the 4 years and they have a chance to learn. And I do remember one of the things that we talked about, because I'd asked one of my sons, how much of what you learned in college do you now use? Now, they have bachelor's degree in economics, and then a master's degree in international business and finance. And they said about 5% of what they learned in college is what they use today. The other 95% has been learned on the job.
Yeah, I think anybody who has gone, anyone, unless they've gone through an education for a specific field,
right. Yeah.
It really is. It's not that it's useless, but all that does is it gives you a springboard into life. Life is college. And little things like grammar and mathematics, those things, once you get the basics down, the rest of it seems to be fluff, and it seems to be unimportant. It's hard for me to understand why I have to, if I'm a student, why I have to learn and understand trigonometry or chemistry if what I'm going to be is a gardener. I guess I'd have to, you have to trust labels and things like that you read, and you'd have to just glean advice from people. But other than that, I have a hard time believing some of these people that are in college professionally, they go to college for 4 years and then they go back to college and they're still in college. They're still in school of some kind. They're earning their doctorate, their master's, their whatever. I find it, I would do that on my free time, but unless I was going to school to be a physicist or something and I needed, you know, to have that certification, to me, it doesn't guarantee a salary. It doesn't mean you're going to get hired somewhere. It just means, it says, well, he starts something and he sticks with it. That's really the basic thing to me that college says.
I think it's true. And if you look at a wide range of things that they teach in college, the more some of the social issues, maybe it's socialism, or maybe it's, I don't know some of the things, some political things, but some of those don't prepare you for any specific job. They may give you a breadth of understanding. And I'm a strong believer in a breadth of knowledge. And I would probably take some issue with you about trigonometry and geometry and mathematics, especially, and I think you and I would agree a great deal on the English, the, both the literature and the grammar, because those things are very important.
Yeah, I agree.
I would want a kid to know how to speak, to speak to an individual as well as speak in a public setting. Those are very important.
Oh, yeah. But now they're talking by text message.
And this
they're
is scary.
Abbreviating words, and they don't even know how to spell. You know they're not even teaching cursive writing in school anymore?
That's what I've heard, yeah.
That just is so, that's just an enigma to me, why they would stop doing
that. Well, I've never used cursive except sign my name since I was 12 years old, I don't think.
Do you print everything?
I print everything I do.
Wow.
Yeah. But, you know, I had had someone coming out of college to send me a resume as well as an introductory letter. And I noticed texting utilization, spelling and what have you in that letter. And I was appalled to look at it and say, this is a 4-year college graduate.
Yeah, but that's their mode of, that's how they communicate.
Yeah.
That's their language. That
Scary.
Is the language they speak. And that's the language that computer language is written in.
Yeah. And you know, one other thing, a comment I think I made was, I think it's very important if a youngster could get an internship while they're in college, because that does a number of things. It shows them the real world while they're back in academia. It also prepares them, and it also gives them maybe an opportunity with the company that they work for if they make a good good impression. So I think that's extremely important. We talked about gun control.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And
would Jesus shoot Jesus shoot Bambi?
And then
that was a good show.
Then would Jesus shoot Daffy Duck? I remember talking about that. So now I know our listeners are now probably thinking that you have two Daffy Ducks here. And we could not argue that point, don't think.
I think we would qualify as Warner Brothers cartoons, just the two of us.
I think we've got some really interesting things coming up.
Yeah.
You and I briefly discussed a couple of days ago the movie about Jackie Robinson.
Yeah, I want to hear. You know, if I just need 5 minutes to pick your brain about that. I know the listeners would be interested. You told me some backstory to that is just fascinating. And if it's fascinating to me, I know that somebody listening to us would find it fascinating too. You've lived a little bit of everything everywhere you go. You remind me, not age-wise, certainly, but you remind me so much of my dad, because my dad knew a little bit about everything. And he was extremely independent. I find you extremely independent. He was very low maintenance when it came to personality, friendships, and he just was a very interesting guy. And you are very, very much like that.
I have been called a veritable cornucopia of worthless information.
Well, it may be worthless to some, but I find it very interesting. So,
well,
and this Jackie Robinson stuff, you actually have seen. I'll just tease the listeners just a little bit. You actually saw him play. Is that right?
I did. I saw Jackie Robinson play. I saw the Monarchs play also, and that was the black team. They were called the colored team at that time. That he played for prior to playing in Montreal. And that was the place where the black players came from in the 47-8-9 period to stock the major league teams. And each major league team was trying to get one. But
we'll talk
about that in one of the other shows.
He knows a little bit about everything except horse racing. He doesn't know a lot about horse racing. He knows how to bet on a loser, but that's about all he knows how to do.
I've bet on a few of those, I can tell you that. But
I've called you Crash from the very beginning. I like Crash, too. But you got that nickname because of, I think, one of the tech guys at one of your companies said they called you Crash because every computer they gave you was always messed up by the time
I could tear up a computer faster than anybody. I bang around on that thing so much, but I...
Well, your partnership with me here has been far from a crash. This has been a great smooth sailing event, and I appreciate it very, very much. I know that you have very little time in the day to spare, and it's been difficult for you to sometimes squeeze out some of these things between meetings and trips and all. And
well,
I appreciate very much the effort that you've made, and I know people out there appreciate it too.
I think more than anything, I appreciate your friendship, and I'm grateful to my sister for having introduced us, to James for giving us this opportunity, for your husband and my wife giving us a chance to spend these times together. Usually we do it by Skype. We're sitting here for the first time in 100 shows doing this face-to-face.
That's right. The first couple of shows we did face-to-face. Remember, we did a couple.
That's right. We did in my office.
That's
in
right.
In my conference room. You're exactly right. I do remember that.
Yeah, and that was fun. That was we were both wet behind the ears and weren't sure what we were doing. We just knew this opportunity came along, and I'm just glad you jumped on.
It's been fun.
So
look forward to more.
Yeah, me too. I want to see what 101's going to be about.
Absolutely.
Come back and listen to us, folks.
Thanks, folks.
To send an email to Janet or Crash, the address is feedback@justtalkingitup.com.